Hello, everyone. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and as always, I feel so much gratitude that we are joining together for this next hour, 50 minutes or so, to strengthen these ideas in our minds. So let's begin just by coming to a quiet, still place, if we're able to. If you'd like to allow your eyes to close, and just taking a few relaxing, deep breaths. Breathing out and imagining just anything that's been on the surface level of the mind, just imagine just breathing that out and just letting it go. And connecting with your own sense of willingness. Willingness to see differently. Willingness to know the truth of the love that we are. Willingness to perceive the safety that is everywhere. The true safety that's there, despite what the ego or the body's eyes might say or show you. Because remembering that anything that the body's eyes report is false. And connecting with our willingness to use this different vision, this vision that comes from the Holy Spirit, this vision that sets us free. Offering that willingness to Holy Spirit within. This holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we place Holy Spirit, this part of our own mind in charge tonight by our request. So taking another mindful breath in, deep breath in and out, and coming together to our perception of right here, right now. All right, so we're picking up where we left off last week. That corresponds to page 438 in the Sparkle Edition, starting with the second full paragraph. The paragraph begins with the sentence, "The body is outside you." In the original edition, that corresponds to chapter 18, part VII, part 7. And that's sentence number 57, the body is outside you. And in FIP, that's chapter 18, part 6, part VI, paragraph number 9. So we've been reading basically that by thinking, by even believing that there is something outside of ourselves, this has cost us the awareness of heaven and the loss of our identity, which is something that we read, I think, last week. So we're going to continue with this. The body is outside you, but seems to surround you, shutting you off from others and keeping you apart from them. It is not there. There is no barrier between God and his son, nor can his son be separated from himself except in illusions. This is not his reality, although he believes it. This is not his reality, though he believes it. Yet this could only be if God were wrong. God would have had to create differently and to have separated himself from his Son to make this possible. He would have had to create different things and to establish different orders of reality, only some of which were love. Yet love must be forever like itself, changeless forever and forever without alternative. And so it is. You cannot put a barrier around yourself because God placed none between himself and you. So here we're hearing and touching the non-duality of the Course. There is only love. This is one of the things that I mentioned in, and I think, I hope, really emphasize in the Crash Course in Undoing Anxiety with Course in Miracles that I referenced before we started recording, and how the Course is teaching us that there is only love. There's not love and whatever else we might fill in based on, you know, what we see with the body's eyes. There is only love. So this is saying clearly toward the latter part of this paragraph that for this to be true, God would have had to create differently. He would have had to separate himself from his Son. He would have had to create different things and establish different orders of reality, only some of which were love. And that's impossible because it's saying in the next sentence, love must be forever like itself, changeless forever, and forever without alternative. So that's the truth. The truth is love. And our belief in anything that is not love is part of the dream. So I love, now going back to the very beginning of this paragraph, I've always taken a lot of comfort in this idea that the body is outside you. The you think you are as a body is not you, that this body, our very own body that we seemingly, you know, feel like we are in right now is actually not part of the true you. It's also a projection. Just like we projected the world outside of us, the body is part of that projection too. It seems to surround us and contain us, but it's not. It says it's not there, which is kind of startling because it certainly seems like it is. But this is what, again, we're learning is having, through these experiences of miracles, having real experiences that are showing us that, in fact, this is true, that we are not these bodies. We are this eternal love. There is no death. We cannot die. Sickness is impossible. And how reassuring is that? So that's, to me, really, really beautiful, and that's always been a big comfort to me.
I wanted to make a comment on that.
Please.
I'm sure I'm not the only one that has had this experience, but I've experienced not being inside of my body. And it wasn't a near-death experience. It was just, I was doing Tai Chi, and all of a sudden I wasn't inside my body, but I was watching my body, and my body was still performing the Tai Chi function without me being inside or my awareness being inside of it. And that was, to have that experience was an eye opener for me that the body can still move without me being inside of it. So that was really amazing. It really made me see that I'm not a prisoner inside of my body. I'm outside of it. Some kind of awareness had shifted, and I wasn't caught in the body anymore. But I'm sure others have had like similar experiences. But they are really real, and it's really true. It's not just words. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you, Meg. Thank you for sharing. That's really beautiful to hear. You know, it's funny, as you were talking, I was thinking about this because I've never actually had an out-of-body experience like that. I've always thought they sounded really cool. And the times when I felt really deep in meditation and thought about an out-of-body experience, like, you know, the part of me like, oh, that could be kind of neat, it's always been like, oh, no, like there would be fear that would come up. I don't want to, you know, I think that would, you know, freak me out, or I would, but that's just the ego getting in there, you know, that's just the fearful voice again, and that was just simply an opportunity for me to, again, look at the fear arising and being willing to look at that with Holy Spirit. I've had other experiences that I wouldn't describe in the same way of feeling myself not limited to this at all, like feeling, you know, very much like this is just a holographic projection that we've made. But yeah, so I really appreciate you sharing your story. It's really comforting.
Corinne,
anybody
may
else
I ask a question?
Yes, absolutely.
This is Homira. So I'm going to go to the other end, and I'm going to ask you a question because I'm actually experiencing some physical symptoms because I'm going through premenopause. I'm like 49, and it's so hard to not identify with being a body because I'm having all these symptoms that, you know, are physical. And I'm wondering, as you advance in the course, is there, I mean, and maybe if other people have had experience, because I know you're younger, Corinne, that have gone through things like this, that you can overcome symptoms and things like this because they are of the body. And if the body's not real, then why am I experiencing these symptoms? And as one gets deeper into the course, into to the thought of that you are spirit, you're not a body, then do these kind of physical symptoms actually go away?
Great question. And I definitely want to open this up for anybody who has anything to add. I'll share some initial thoughts. The first thought that comes up is that, yes, absolutely, the Course is teaching us that we are not these bodies. That's, you know, again, what we just read in this paragraph. But we have to be where we are, and that we very much are associated with these bodies right now. We very much believe that we are having a body experience. And so with that comes, you know, these symptoms, these body things. So it's important to always be okay. It's important to practice being okay with where we're at, meaning that if there are a lot of symptoms coming up, not judging it as like, oh, you know, this means I'm not doing the course right, or like, you know, any thoughts like that. So that's the first thing that comes up. I can't speak to menopause, but what I can speak to is my own experience and the experience of others that I've heard. I'm sure Nook has shared this story. Nook Sanchez has shared this story publicly, so I'm sure she doesn't mind. And these are my words and my memories, and so I might not be getting this totally correct. But she had skin cancer on her leg, and it was some kind of, you know, wound or lesion that I think was like not, you know, it didn't look good. It wasn't closing up, and it wasn't healing, and doctors were like, you know, you need surgery. You have to get that removed. She is an advanced teacher of God. She listens to Jesus, to, you know, Holy Spirit very clearly, and has been receiving a lot of these deeper messages about how there is no death, about how, you know, we are not bodies. So she is very advanced in doing this. For a lot of us, we could fall into a trap of trying to intellectualize our way out of something physical. She got guidance. Again, this is now where I'm going to be a little fuzzy on the details, but I know she handed it to Holy Spirit and then realized that, like, okay, I gave this to Holy Spirit. Now am I going to keep thinking about it, or am I going to actually give it? And she got the message. I remember her saying something to this effect. She got the message that Jesus told her to just forget about it. So she forgot about it. And some time, I think a couple months went by, until one day, I believe if I'm remembering correctly, she was in the shower and realized that it wasn't there. It was totally gone, like wasn't there at all. And I think she had said that, like, her ego voice was like, well, you're looking at the wrong leg. Like, check the other leg, which she did, and it wasn't there because she was, you know, looking at the correct leg. So as we come to know, and I mean experientially know, that this is not the truth, that I am not Corinne. As we experientially know that, there are physical healings. There are big shifts. Other people, I know that Nook teaches with, like Corrine Walson, has had other, you know, things go away. Myself, I've had, I used to get chronic breast lumps. Sorry if this is too much information for anybody. I have documented the scans of them being there and then the scans of them being completely gone. So there are physical things that can absolutely heal. If we're, it might be, though, that there's still, you know, some fear in the mind where we can't receive healing directly. And so that's where we, it's imperative that we let ourselves be where we're at and do what it is that we feel like we need to do. That is might, you know, that might be like taking some medication or going to a doctor, but we do that now with Holy Spirit. So that's how a lot of my physical stuff has fallen away, because at times, like for instance, now I'm trying to even think of an example and I can't, but like I still take vitamins. Now I take them with Holy Spirit. I still believe that I need them, and I'm honest and okay with the fact that I think I still need them, but I take them with Holy Spirit, and I trust that they're going to fall away. My belief that I need them will fall away when I'm ready to let it go. So I don't know if that's clear, the importance of, like, for us to just say, I actually had a conversation about with a friend who studies the course about this, and my friend was having some physical issues with a part of her body. And she was like, I'm saying I'm not a body, but it's not working. It's not a mantra. It's, you know, I mean, it can be a helpful, comforting mantra, and that's how I used it for a long time, but it's actually something, just like we wake up to, you know, just like we heal and we wake up to different things, we have sudden, you know, experiences that open our eyes where maybe we see something from another person's perspective for the first time. That teaching is something we wake up to in a very experiential way when we're ready. So I hope that helps. I feel like, you know, I obviously I can't speak to physical symptoms of menopause, but I can speak to other, to other physical things, because if this body is wholly neutral, which is what the course is saying, what we read last week is how we project guilt onto the body. It said last week we displaced the guilt from our minds onto our bodies. And so if we've displaced that guilt and put the guilt on the body, of course then the body's going to manifest, you know, all sorts of worldly things, because we're putting something on it. We're making it into something that's not neutral, or we're believing it's something that's not neutral when it is in fact wholly neutral. As we learn to undo, to remove the guilt, you know, by turning to Holy Spirit, it like lifts the layers off the body, and then like that's where healing can happen. But at the same time, we have to be careful to not fall into the trap of, oh, this physical symptom's still here, I must not be healed, because that's where now we're getting back in there with judgment, because we've decided what the picture should look like in order, you know, for us to be progressing. So that's where it's imperative that we practice non-judgment, regardless the course, but we've also read that recently, that we offer, you know, things to Holy Spirit in spite of fear, or, you know, in spite of whatever the picture looks like, because, you know, maybe we'll see a change with the body's eyes, maybe we won't. And I say that because it's imperative that we remember to not judge what's happening, and that's where that prayer, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. So rather than me laying meaning on a physical symptom of like it means, oh, yeah, you're healed, or, oh, no, you still have a lot of guilt in your mind. Like, rather than me decide that, I'm going to refrain from deciding that, and I'm going to give this to Holy Spirit, because now I'm really opening and, you know, opening myself to my – opening to the willingness to have things shift instead of closing myself up and saying, oh, this means I'm not healed, got to do more work. So that non-judgment and allowing ourselves to be exactly where we are is a key part of the process.
Oh, so beautiful and gentle. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Can I say something?
Sure.
When you're talking, is her name Anouk?
Nook. It's N-O-U-K.
N-O-U-K, Nook. When you were speaking about Nook, one of the things that really struck me was the fact that when Jesus spoke to her and said, forget about it, that's what she did. Somehow she did that. I don't know how she did that, but somehow she did that. And when you do that, when you have fear and worry and guilt, you're setting up all kinds of poison inside of your body. You're setting adrenaline. You've got cortisol going. And all of those things, they're the flight-fight response. And all of those things are tearing the body down. When you forget about what, you know, if you can, what is bothering you, then those chemicals are not, they're hormones. They're no longer in your body anymore because you're not generating those things by your thoughts. So what I was thinking of, I was thinking everybody can't do that. Just say, okay, forget about it. I'll forget about it. But those that can't, they're physiological changes that are going to occur with inside the body because the body naturally wants to heal itself. It naturally wants to do that. But I was thinking of the body as a coat. And you put a coat on and you wear the coat and the coat has a function. And then you might lose a button or the hem might come loose. Anything happens during the normal wear and tear of you wearing the coat, which is the body, and that's just the normal breakdown because the body is going to break down eventually. It's not going to live forever unless science does something, and they're working on that. But so far, it breaks down. But you, inside the coat, the one that's not separated from God, that's not separated from Jesus, not separated from the Holy Spirit, you inside the coat, that, you know, I don't know if this is too much, but I'll just put it out there. It's just something to think about. That doesn't affect you, and I know that it does affect you if you are identified with the body. So there's two things going on. If your identification is with the body, of course it affects you because you're like linked to the body. If you're linked with, if you come to understand that you're actually, there's no separation between you, God, and Jesus, those things can happen in the body and continue to happen in the body. And, of course, you'll feel pain. But there is a portion of you that knows that it doesn't matter because when the body is gone, you will still exist. So I know it's not much comfort to say if you have a strong identity with the body, you're going to go through what the body is going through. But ultimately, the ultimate truth is you are love. You are not sickness. You are not fear. And that might just be words, just saying that, you know, but that's what the truth actually is.
Well, Meg, thank you for sharing. I do have to add, though, the Course is teaching us, and these are coming from the deeper messages of the Course, and particularly through Nook, that we need to even question beliefs that we hold that it is normal for the body to break down. The Course is asking us to question everything, that included. The Course says that the body, when its usefulness is over, is neither sick nor old, it's just simply laid by because its usefulness is over. So it's true that, like, the body in and of itself is not going to be this animated thing forever, but the process of pain or it breaking down, those are beliefs also that we need to give to Holy Spirit. And that's a lot of the deeper stuff that Nook is teaching that I haven't necessarily experienced yet. So, you know, I don't feel as equipped or moved, you know, to get into, like, those, like, deep, deep teachings. But she's really, really good at going there. And so that belief that, you know, the aging process is a normal part of this, that everybody gets sick or that the body, you know, is going to break down, those are actually all beliefs to take to Holy Spirit because they're just beliefs. Because, like the Course says, it's neither sick nor old. It's simply laid by as if you're taking that coat off because, you know, you're done with it. You don't need to wear it anymore. So I love the analogy of the coat. I think that's very accurate. So I just had to add that because I think that's really, really important for us to keep in mind.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. The other piece that I just wanted to add, it used to be very upsetting to me to think about those stress hormones that I was releasing in my body that I had no control over. I couldn't just forget about it. I couldn't just turn off the fight-flight response when I was in the thick of it. I literally could not. What was comforting to me was we've gone so many times to page 90 in Foundation for Inner Peace, that the Holy Spirit will undo the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him, and I choose to let him by allowing him to decide for God for me. Mm. So it's really important that we remember that we are not subject to any of the laws of the world, and that includes death, that includes aging, that includes sickness, that includes all of that, because the body... In note, we're going to read this tonight. This is funny. This just popped in my head. It says to, where did it go? Is it, to, no, actually, it's not, we're not going to read it tonight. It's coming up. It's coming up in the next section. It says, at no single instant does the body exist at all. It is always remembered or anticipated, but never experienced just now. Only in past and future, only its past and future make it seem real. So in no single instant does the body exist at all. That means stress hormones, you know, beliefs about it, things that we want, you know, think the body should do, in no single instant does it exist at all. It's completely neutral. It's completely, completely neutral. So if in no single instant does it exist at all, we're constantly projecting it in this very moment. And as we learn, you know, again, the truth of who it is that we are, we step back from laying all the guilt on the body to come to know it as this holy neutral thing that just gets us, you know, it's just that communication device is what it becomes. So so I hope that was helpful. I love that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for bringing this up, Homira. This is really,
sure.
really good.
No,
stuff.
Thank you for
this
the answer.
This has been very, very close to me in my learning because bodily stuff, fears of sickness, fears of death, mostly, but I mean, majority, you know, hypochondria, fears of things being wrong with my body. This has been my greatest classroom, my greatest classroom. Oh, anybody else have anything to add?
That's so beautiful, Corinne.
Thank you. Deidre.
Yeah, I was just going to share, this is so funny that this is coming up because I'm about to post a blog about a personal experience. I'll probably post it either tomorrow or the next day. But I was in the middle of filming a video for the Miracle Share conference, and a whole bunch of body stuff came up while I was doing the video for that. And immediately, like, while I was watching the projection of myself on the screen, the fear voice became really loud, like, and I started looking at a whole bunch of beliefs that I thought that I had already released spirit and whatnot, but they were very coming back very strongly. And they were things like, oh my God, is this what people see when they see me, like, out in the world, in public? Do they see what I'm seeing on the screen in front of me right now? Do they see the projection of, you know, something that doesn't look right, that isn't very attractive? And all these, like, kind of ugly, uncomfortable beliefs were coming up, like, are people going to see what's wrong? Are people going to see a quote-unquote disability? And it was very, very interesting to look at that projection on the screen in front of me. So I asked Spirit for another way to see this experience. And so what came out of that was to very kind of very much like what happened with Nuke, was that I was instructed to allow the part of my mind that was giving me that very, very loud chatter to get out of the way and let the spirit of me shine through and be unconcerned with how the picture looked. So instead of being, you know, thinking whatever the thoughts were, whether they were like, I'm not very pretty, or people are going to just see quote-unquote disability, physical challenges, or whatever they were, I was given very clear instructions just to let myself shine, the spirit of me to shine and be unconcerned with how the projection was perceived. And so, as I said, I'm blogging about this, but what comes up for me is, in response to Chimera's question, is just to offer no resistance to whatever it is that's coming up when you're looking at it. Because when we focus on symptoms or the story or whatever appears to be coming up with what we're looking at, we're pumping more belief into the idea that something needs to be fixed, that there is another identity possible that's outside of spirit. And spirit was very clear with me while I was looking at these beliefs during the video that it was me, the identity with the false self, that was allowing me to feel bad, feel guilty, and, you know, come to the point where I had tears in my eyes and was worried and things like this. And so when that came, all the rest of it kind of evaporated, and you know, I've submitted the video, so I'm not letting anything get in the way of, you know, being seen. And if more stuff comes up around it, then more stuff comes up around it. But I'm the focus or the purpose of it is to become more solidly identified with the truth rather than the illusion. So I don't know if that's helpful, but it was really helpful for me.
Yes, well, thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's so helpful, Deidre. I just love you. I love your honesty. I love your authenticity.
So powerful.
And I love how you used that situation as, again, a means for I forget your exact words, they were so powerful, but just like being in front of the screen and then, you know, suddenly all these thoughts are arising, like there it is, you know, coming up for us to look at with Holy Spirit, whatever that is, you know, for any of us. So that was super, super helpful.
And what was really, really cool about the projection on the screen was what was making me uncomfortable and bringing up all this fear and actual tears was the fact that the discomfort was not that what I was seeing necessarily on the screen, but the knowledge that if that image is what is actually seen in the world, then the truth that I know I am in spirit is not being seen. That was where the upset was coming from. Mm-hmm. And so spirit basically let me know that that isn't true and I don't need to be concerned with that.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Because it was very clear that I'm not the projection in the screen.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, I'll just share, Deidre, the photos that you've shared on Facebook beam love with a capital L. I'm thinking of that photo of you, and I think you have, like, flowers or butterflies in your hair. The other photo that you shared of you in front of this that big statue, if it's the Buddha statue, I don't remember. The photos that you share, the light is just pouring through. So
thank you. That's
yeah.
Dope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't wait. I haven't seen your video yet, but I can't wait to see it. Oh, wow. How about we do some more reading? So, okay, we just read the first paragraph, right? I think so.
Yes.
Okay, so now we're at you can stretch out your hand. Okay. You can stretch out your hand and reach to heaven. You, whose hands are joined, have begun to reach beyond the body, but not outside yourselves, to reach your shared identity together. Could this be outside you, where God is not? Is he a body, and did he create you as he is not, and where he cannot be? You are surrounded only by him. What limit can there be on whom he encompasses? Excuse me, what limit can there be on you whom he encompasses? Everyone has experienced what he would call a sense of being transported beyond himself. This feeling of liberation far exceeds the dream of freedom sometimes experienced in special relationships, is the sense of actual escape from limitations. I'm going to read the next paragraph too. If you will consider what this transportation really entails, you will realize that it is a sudden unawareness of the body, an adjoining of yourself and something else in which your mind enlarges to encompass it. It becomes part of you as you unite with it. And both become whole, as neither is perceived as separate. What really happens is that you have given up the illusion of a limited awareness and lost your fear of union. The love that instantly replaces it extends to what has freed you and unites with it. And while this lasts, you are not uncertain of your identity and would not limit it. You have escaped from fear to peace, asking no questions of reality, but merely accepting it. You have accepted this instead of the body and have let yourself be one with something beyond it simply by not letting your mind be limited by it. Oh, I'm tempted to keep reading, but I'm going to pause here. So I got the felt sense that joining together on these calls, the paragraph we just began with, you can stretch out your hand and reach to heaven. You, whose hands are joined, have begun to reach beyond the body, but not outside yourselves, to reach your shared identity together. This, I feel like, is just what we're doing on these calls. We're holding hands, and we're all stepping forward to reach to heaven, to remember heaven together. It's not outside of us, and it is very real, and I love then how it started talking about the feeling of liberation that we all have experienced, the sense of being sort of transported beyond yourself, whether that's when you tap into that, you know, glimpse of that universal feeling of love, or if you have had those experiences of, you know, feeling like you are beyond your body or something much greater than it. I love how it describes this, that that's a sudden unawareness of the body and a joining of yourself and something else in which your mind enlarges to encompass it, and you unite completely with it. That's just beautiful. So as we give up the fear, as we let go of the fear, as the fear falls away because we've opened our minds to simply accepting truth, like it says, not asking questions but merely accepting it, love is what flows in. That's what replaces the fear. That's what we get when we give up. You know, these things that we're, the sense of self that we're so terrified we're going to lose, love replaces that, you know, that's actually fear, thinking that we're going to lose something. It's love that we get instead. And I think I've, you know, joked around about this on the call before, that my gosh, when I touch this place, I'm like, why did I ever defend against this? Like, it feels so good. It makes me so happy. So I do want to keep reading, but is there anybody who wants to add before we do that? Okay, let's keep going. So the last sentence, I'm just going to reread the last sentence of the paragraph we just finished. You've accepted this instead of the body and have let yourself be one with something beyond it, simply by not letting your mind be limited by it. It's a new paragraph. This can occur regardless of the physical distance which seems to be between you and what you join, of your respective positions in space, and of your differences in size and seeming quality. Time is not relevant. It can occur with something past, present, or anticipated. The something can be anything and anywhere, a sound, a sight, a thought, a memory, and even a general idea without specific reference. Yet in every case, you joined it without reservation because you love it and would be with it. And so you rush to meet it, letting your limits melt away, suspending all the laws your body obeys, and gently setting them aside. I have to keep reading. There is no violence at all in this escape. The body is not attacked, but simply properly perceived. It does not limit you, merely because you would not have it so. You are not really lifted out of it. It, the body, cannot contain you. You go where you would be, gaining, not losing, a sense of self. In these instances of release from physical restrictions, you experience much of what happens in the holy instant. The lifting of the barriers of time and space, the sudden experience of peace and joy, and above all, the lack of awareness of the body, and of the questioning whether or not all this is possible. We will finish this last paragraph before we conclude, but I'll pause here. So the Oh, go on, DJ.
I was just going to say that part where it says the body is not attacked when properly perceived. That is so true. That's like when I got still enough to listen to spirit with, you know, as to what to do with what was coming up with the video and stuff, the guidance was to get out of the way, like allow the part of my mind that was doing the attacking, put that aside, and be the communication device for love that I am. Basically, it was the message, and so that part really sticks out to me.
Yeah, I agree. I love that. The body is not attacked, but simply properly perceived. And it said right before that, there's no violence at all in this escape. That's beautiful. So that's these miracles, these shifts in perception. I also wanted to add the paragraph right before that one. where it says this can occur regardless of the physical distance which seems to be between you and what you join. I've heard so many people, I mean, my mom and my grandmother included, my mom, you know, my grandmother has passed, and my mom had a challenging relationship with her when she was alive. I've heard so many people say that, you know, with deceased loved ones, through this work, feeling such a, you know, connection now to that person, because doing this work, it's saying so clearly here that these miracles happen regardless of physical distance, regardless of your respective positions in space, regardless of all this, you know, time doesn't matter. These healings happen across space and time. Just like I know I shared previously that my going down to the Florida Keys for my high school reunion two Augusts ago, it was as if my whole past going down there just like was such a sense of closure. It was as if that part of my life in the past just folded up and just fell away. It no more held any power over me. So I love how it says this in that paragraph, that these healings, you know, occur regardless of time and space. So that's where the work that we're doing, it's not just for, you know, your personal sense of self or my personal sense of self. The work that we are doing is literally on behalf of healing the world. It's literally on behalf of every thing that we think we perceive that's out there, because it's all us. It's all one mind. Oh, this is good stuff. How about, okay, we have 6 minutes left, so I'm going to read the last paragraph, and then we'll pause there for any comments or questions. So we ended with, again, I'm just going to sort of reread the last paragraph of the, I'm sorry, the last sentence of the last paragraph. In these instants of release from physical restrictions, you experience much of what happens in the holy instant, the lifting of the barriers of time and space, ... and questioning whether or not this is all possible. New paragraph. It is possible because you want it. The sudden expansion of the self, which takes place with your desire for it, is the irresistible appeal the holy instant holds. It calls to you to be itself within its safe embrace. These are the laws of limit lifted for you, to welcome you to openness of mind and freedom. Come to this place of refuge where you can be yourself in peace. Not through destruction, not through a breaking out, but merely by a quiet melting in. For peace will join you there simply because you have been willing to let go the limits you have placed upon love and joined it where it is and where it led you, in answer to its gentle call to be at peace. And I will pause there.
Hallelujah. That's a hallelujah.
Hi, Carla.
Hey, Sam.
Hallelujah, I'm with you.
Yeah. I'm into the...
I am with you.
And let peace join me. I sure love when Jesus talked to me like that, y'all. I really, really do.
Right?
I love it. Come into this
I
quadrant.
Do, too.
And peace will meet you there. See, now that's the best damn date I will ever have.
Peace
will meet me there. Oh, I just want to roll on the floor and shout. I'm going to put myself in mute. Okay.
I'm jumping around in joy also. I love how you just said, I love it when Jesus talks to you this way. I agree. I get such, it's a feeling. It's hard to put in words. You just have to roll around on the floor and shout and exclaim.
See, I come from a Baptist church environment. So, you know, it's possible that I saw that growing up. And so I like it when, you know, I get excited about God. I get excited about, you know, if there's my favorite flavor at the ice cream, or, you know, if they have my favorite pantyhose and my favorite, you know, color and my size. And it's like, you know, I get excited about all that other stuff that is, you know, that I made, not even created, because created means eternity. And it's like, I'm going to get excited about Jesus. You know, that's what I'm the a plug in to getting excited about Jesus, you know, all the gifts that he's offering me. And while I'm trying to get, while I'm trying to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and allow him to, you know, this program is like, you know, it's brainwashing. I've heard people say that. And when I first stepped into the awareness of the course, I don't know about y'all, but my brain needed a whole lot of washing, you know, and it, could, it continues to need washing, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm so happy. I'm so happy that, you know, we meet and that Jesus is our goal, you know, that this is our Holy Ghost party every week. I'm so glad that I have some place to go to just say thank you, to just let God know that, you know, I hear you, and thank you for caring so much about me and telling me so many wonderful things about me. I couldn't hear how you would tell me how radiant I was and how beautiful and how innocent and how lovely and how unchanged, unchanging, unchangeable, loving and lovable I was. I couldn't hear that. And so I'm grateful that we have this opportunity every week to check in with that source that's running after me to tell me this. And, you know, my brain is just in the process of just like, you know, slowing down so I could actually hear what's being said to me, what's being whispered to me so often. And from there, I do gather, you know, my gratitude and my strength and much appreciation for what these body's eyes cannot see but can experience and can feel. So thank you all for just patient with me as I'm in my process.
Carla, I just closed my eyes and I was just soaking in every word that you shared, because I feel that gratitude too, and I feel like you captured it beautifully that, you know, when we're out in the world, we can't hear the love that God is saying that we are, the innocence, the safety that we're in. We often forget it, you know, we don't hear it, and then we come here, and then here it is, you know, we're reminding ourselves, we're hearing it, and so much gratitude for that. And as we build this trust, that hearing, you know, it expands. It doesn't happen then just on these calls. We start having, you know, we all have had those miracles, those things during the week too. But this is certainly a nice refresher. It's certainly nice to be able to connect with people who are speaking the same language. So I feel that gratitude too.
Yeah. Even today's lesson for me was God is my refuge and my security. And I'm like, that's the kind of stuff we talk about in the church. Thank you. Because that is the truth. Where else, who else is my security and my refuge? Anything I tried to make my security and my refuge, it really failed. It fell. It proved itself to be unreliable. And I've had enough of the unconsciousness. I've had enough of putting, you know, my sources of happiness, sourcing it in something or someone else. I've had enough of myself, that little self. I've had it, you know. So it's like at this point, it's like, yeah, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? It's like I just think about like the old folks and, you know, my grandmother, my great-grandmother who started a church. You couldn't tell her nothing about her Jesus. You know, you could, because Jesus was good. Jesus was sweet. Jesus was the end-all, be-all in her household. And I'm so grateful that even in the midst of all the dysfunction, my family, actually my grandmother and such, they gave me some church. You know, they at least gave me that, and that worked for me. You know, I know it don't work for everybody, and that's okay. You know, but this, it works for me because I have a Jesus that I really see as a friend that I really could fall in love with. And I'm so happy about that today. I'm so happy.
I am joining you in that joy. I am joining you there. Ah. Yay! I want to roll on the floor and just scream. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Amen.
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 Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for being here. I love you all. And we shall join again, even though our joining doesn't stop with hanging up, with pressing the hang up button. We'll come together again next week. So have a great week, everybody.
Yep. You too.
Good night.
Thank
love you,
everyone.
Love you all.
Love you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.